Oh, that's right. We are right here this afternoon. How you doing? Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and I am here with Stacy Thompson. She was just looking at the newspaper article that was in Sunday's paper about the back on the tracks. So we're going to be talking about the new railroad and the engine that's going to be unveiled. But she said rolling. She hopes it wasn't rolling. How you doing today, Stacy?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Anne.
That would be scary if those if they started rolling on the tracks, wouldn't it?
Yes, our train is landlocked. Thankfully, right?
That's true. Well, gosh, it's been a while since we've had you on the air.
Yes, it has, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Yeah. In fact, how old is your son now?
He is almost 5.
Yes. I think he was just barely born when we had you on.
I think you're right. So it's been almost 5 years.
That's right.
Time flies.
It does. So she is the executive director of the museum down there. So how is everything going at the museum?
Everything's going wonderfully. I'm really excited about everything that we have to offer.
Yes.
Our museum at 106 Main Street has 3 floors of exhibitions, and we are hosting electricity right now for the entire summer. So that's very exciting. It has 15 interactives, and it's great for the kids. It's free.
Yes. You know, I think that's one of the things that sometimes we don't really appreciate is the fact that you're able to bring a top-quality exhibit, and it's free. Now, this isn't some, I'll use the word, rinky-dink exhibit, right? This is top-notch. Now, where is the electricity exhibit from?
It is from the Franklin Institute, which is located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So they're kind of a top-notch science center and well-known in Philadelphia. All of the school groups actually travel to the Franklin Institute every year to visit. So,
and I think that has something to do with Ben Franklin.
Yes.
That's right. Electricity.
All about electricity.
Yes. So how did you end up getting this exhibit?
Well, we were lucky enough to get some wonderful sponsors. So the City of Greenwood and Greenwood County Accommodations Tax, Allegra and Capsigel, all helped us to get this exhibit here from the Franklin Institute. So so it was, you know, it's pricey to get these exhibits, but it's amazing to be able to offer it, you know, to Greenwood citizens for the whole summer and for visitors here. It's just wonderful.
So, and is there any admission to get into the museum?
No, there's no admission to get into our museum or our railroad center this coming weekend. So,
wow,
very exciting.
How can you do this for free?
Well, we do this for free thanks to all of our members. You know, they're very supportive, and we appreciate all of them, our donors, our sponsors, the City of Greenwood, Greenwood County. They're all wonderful to us. So that's the way we are able to offer these things for free.
You know, that's really a big give back to the community.
It really is, and we're very proud, and we're very excited about all the families that are coming in this summer. It's just so much fun for the kids. Everything's very interactive. Everybody can touch everything, you know, so it's not kind of, you know, the old-fashioned museum. Just everything's interactive, so it's so much fun.
Yeah, and the when we should talk about your grandmother's museum, I guess, maybe, where you walk through and that's all you did was got to look at stuff.
Yes, and that is not the case in our museum. We invite the kids, and they dress up in our hat shop. You know, they have dress on, a hat. It's so cute. We have a big Thomas table. You know, and those things are always there in our Main Street exhibit. We have a discovery lab downstairs, and so that's all interactive and hands-on. We have an air cannon, a Wii, all kinds of stuff like that. And then electricity, of course, is interactive. And we have a panning station in our Gems and Minerals. I could just go on and on, you know.
No, but it's great. And that is the difference between museums. And, you know, I think sometimes we think when it's right here at home, right here in our own backyard, we think we have to go out of town to find true experiences, but you don't.
No, you don't always have to do that. I think Greenwood has made huge strides, you know, towards offering all kinds of different things for all different age groups here in town. And I'm very proud of what we've done at the museum.
Sure. And you know, I think that just when you came in, the museum was had just gone through the renovation.
Yes.
And it was kind of, it was at a jumping off point, I guess we should say. You had lots of stuff that had to be inventoried.
Yes.
Yes. Lots of stuff that had to be inventoried.
Yes. all kinds of things to do. Yeah. So we were very, very busy. Yeah. And we continue to be busy, but thankfully, we've been able to do a lot at our museum, downtown or uptown beside mm-hmm. the theater. And now we can renovate our Railroad Center because of that. So, you know, we could kind of focus our attention on the railroad.
Now, just in case somebody is curious and would like to become a member, what does it take to become a member of the museum?
Well, our individual memberships are $35.
Okay.
You get a free gift of our Reflections of Greenwood publication.
Which we're going to talk about, yes.
Yes, and tickets for our special Christmas party for members. This year it's going to be at our Railroad Center, so that's exciting.
Right.
And for families it's $50, and that includes all of the things I just mentioned, as well as discounts for camps and kids programs and things like that.
Well, that is the other thing that you're... Oh, and now what about a corporate sponsorship? Do you have a corporate membership or...
Our corporate memberships usually start at $1,000. Okay. And we offer everything from free rentals and events on up, depending on the level.
And, mm-hmm. you know, that's another thing we don't think about the museum sometimes, is that you do have that great rental space, particularly upstairs, the whole mm-hmm. upstairs there. It's a fabulous, open, capable of doing a lot of different things up there.
Yes, definitely. Just in the past few weeks, we've had three wedding receptions. So it's just been very busy, but wonderful, you know, because you can really transform that space the way you want to transform it.
So. Sure. And you have air conditioning?
Of course.
Yes.
We are a museum. We have five huge HVAC units.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I was thinking, because, yes. you know, sometimes when you're thinking, where can we go where it's cool?
Oh, yeah. Well, in this summer, we also have birthday parties, which is great because I know my child has a birthday party in July.
Right.
You know, birthday in July. So you always want to have those birthdays inside.
That's right.
So we have a lot of birthday parties in the summer as well.
And don't you have the Hunley down there?
We do. We have the USS Hunley ship
reconstruction
or replica, very loose replica. but that is a wonderful exhibit in our Durst Gallery, sponsored by Pam and the late Ben Hunley. So it's very fun for the kids. And we actually have a pirate-themed birthday party around that ship.
See, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That's right. And then you need to coordinate with the library with Talk Like a Pirate. You know, they have interactive. We did that mm-hmm. on the air, Mango Language. You can learn to talk like a pirate. And then with Pirate Day coming up, I think it's September 19th.
September. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be really cool. Yes. I should talk to Prudence Taylor about that. Yes.
That's right. Okay. That's well, see, we're having good ideas here this afternoon, right? Here on WCRS. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here with Stacy Thompson. And, you know, we were just talking about it's really not fair. Being the executive director of the museum is like a license to play all the time. Even
yes.
though it's a lot of work. But, you know, you get to dream and come up with great ideas and make them, bring them to fruition.
That's true. It's a great opportunity. That's probably one of my favorite things about the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, is having these ideas and taking others' ideas from the community and making them happen.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So, now, I guess you got everything inventoried and everything at the museum?
Almost. I mean, we have almost 50,000 objects. So...
Almost.
We're very close. Yes.
Okay.
So we're very excited about that. And I have a new employee that's going to be part collections technician. So that's going to be wonderful. Yeah. you know, part of having a museum is preserving our history and within these objects. So it's important to make sure that they're going to last another, you know, 300 years.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, I know that part of the fun of doing the Images of America Greenwood was the fact that you were going through and you were finding so many great pictures and stuff that had been donated, huh?
Yes, that was so much fun. I have a background in archives, and so being able to take all of our Greenwood pictures and make kind of a cohesive collection of it mm-hmm. was wonderful. And we learned so much about Greenwood history in the process. So it was a great experience, and I think that we've gotten some really good feedback. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. The book I thought was phenomenal. And just to see some of the pictures, one of my favorite pictures is the marshmallow roast, where it's from 1903. They're dressed in white starched shirts and very formal, and they all have marshmallows on sticks.
Yes. I could not leave that picture out. It's just, it's an amazing picture. It's not as if they're camping.
Right.
I mean, they're dressed in fancy shirts that go all the way up to their chin, you know.
That's right. And then they've got hats on, and they look like they might be in a parlor or something. Yes, that's kind of what it looks like.
It's very posed.
Faculty members of the Brewer School are enjoying mm-hmm. a fun marshmallow roast in the photograph taken in 1903.
Yes. And we had another one where they were playing ping pong.
Yes.
From the same kind of group. Photo shoot. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to see some of the stuff and, you know, some of the things, of course, are still here. Some of the things are not. But to be able to see the Burtons down there at the Burton Center, the original Burton Center mm-hmm. down there, and the cars. And, of course, Greenwood Mills. I mean, it really is phenomenal. And then, of course, to see the trains. And, you know, Greenwood actually was considered to have, what was it, the largest main street in the country?
The widest main street in the world.
In the world?
Actually, yes. That's my understanding. I think we're fourth maybe now. I'm not sure. But we had 5 railroad lines that came through Greenwood at a time. So it's kind of a great metropolis of South Carolina, you know. And so it was very wide main street with all of those railroad tracks coming through.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize how important the railroad was when our country was developing, and the areas that, like Greenwood, were able to develop so much faster because they had that rail access and coming right into town. It was so important.
Yes, it was so important. The economy in Greenwood in the early 1900s was roaring because of the textiles and the railroads working hand in hand. You know, those two industries kind of changed Greenwood forever, you know, in a positive way.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from Maine originally, and I lived up on the hill in Maine, in South Paris, Norway. And before the railroad came, it was the metropolis. And then the railroad came, and of course it didn't come up on top of the hill. It went down into the town. And so that totally changed the two environs. And you could see the evidence of it by the, there was a jail up there where on the hill that they turned into a library. But it was stuff like that that was so important at the time. And then the railroad came and it didn't come up. And so it totally moved everybody down into the town.
Yes, it really changes a lot of everyday life as well. I mean, I've heard the story so many times of how when the Southern train was going to come through, they would always have to send a fire truck to the other side. Because if there was a fire on the other side of those tracks, while that train was coming through, the train was so long that they could not get a truck there.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that story.
Yes,
that's cool.
Yes. No, there's people that still remember that.
So when the Southern train came through, you knew it was coming through because the fire truck was on the other side.
Yes.
Talk about being prepared.
Yes. Stop now, traffic for an hour.
And, you know, if you wanted to get from one side to the other side, you knew you might as well make a detour then.
Yes. I think it had to be a long detour, though, is my understanding. So
how about that?
Yeah.
It's, you know, this is the type of stuff that I think is so interesting. And, you know, the more we talk about things like this, the more we're able to learn, which is why I think it is so fantastic that y'all have been able to undertake the project of redoing the railroads, the rail cars. And the fact that the Railroad Historical Center was established in 1970 by L.B. Adams and Charles Herndon. What foresight they had.
Oh, most definitely. They were celebrating the South Carolina Tricentennial in 1970, and it seems that they saw our steam engine advertised in a Greenville newspaper, and they decided to purchase it.
You know, and like, what would make you want to purchase a steam engine just to, I guess they just bought it to have it on display, didn't they?
Yes, I think they had the Tricentennial in mind, mm-hmm. you know, and they thought, at first, well, this would be a great thing for a playground or something like that. And then they decided to create a museum. So it was kind of an amazing way to preserve our railroad history. And that was the point all along, was to kind of make sure that the future generations would understand how important railroad history was for Greenwood. So,
and in the, well, let's see, I moved here in the 1980s, and all of that was pretty much gone. When did the railroad actually move out of uptown?
The last train came through in 1982, and it was a symbolic train, basically, and then they took up the tracks. So we have the newspaper article from that, you know, from that ceremony, the last train ceremony.
Have you ever talked to anybody that was there for that ceremony?
I think I've talked to one or two people.
Because, yes. You know, for somebody that grew up during that time, and mm-hmm. we still have plenty of people, I would presume, mm-hmm. it would be so fascinating to see how they felt, wouldn't it?
It would be fascinating. My understanding of it was that it was a joyous occasion because it is something that different groups had worked on for many, many years. Because the trains weren't using those Main Street lines as often as they had been, mm-hmm. you know, and so it would block traffic, it would create problems, and so I think...
Oh, so it was good riddance?
Well, I think that Greenwood has been great at kind of changing with the times, you know, but... at the museum, our job is to save, share, and celebrate Greenwood history, you know, sure. So we want to take the best of our history and kind of talk about that and talk about the bad times too, you know, but it was good for our town to be progressive, sure. I think, in the early 80s and go ahead and take up those tracks.
Yeah, you know? I would just be interested to have somebody say, well, it was good, but it was bad because when I was growing up, the train was this, the train was that. You know, mm-hmm. WCRS celebrated our 73rd anniversary last September.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's wonderful.
And we had people come that grew up listening to WCRS, and we had people, and we got old recordings that they had on the radio and stuff like that. And it just was so neat to see what WCRS was used for. Actually, it was the last radio station to get an FCC license before World War II.
Oh, wow.
And they actually used the radio station as coordinates for the bombers doing practice runs and learning how to fly and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, that's really interesting.
It is really interesting. And you know, up until that point, you really sat down and started looking at the stuff, you didn't know all these things.
Yeah. Yeah. History is so interesting. Once you start digging into it, you just keep finding these little details that makes it just great.
Yeah. Yesterday we had Tim Lowry here. He's a professional storyteller and he does storytelling on history, and he does some cool stuff, and talking about things that you think, well, you know, that history isn't exciting, but when you get somebody that can make it alive, it becomes very exciting.
Yes, bringing history alive is very exciting, and that's part of what we're doing at the Railroad Center. You know, when you get that environment, you can actually get on a train,
right?
You know, and it's just
all aboard.
Yeah, you're inside of it, you know, and it's exactly like it was in the 30s or the 60s, you know, when people were using it. It's amazing.
That was the way to travel.
Exactly.
And that was actually a glamorous way to travel at one point.
Yes, it was. And we have the Duke energy executive car, you know, that was used on the Piedmont Northern Railroad to kind of prove that. It's beautiful. So we're excited about that. We're opening that October 24th.
Okay. Well, listen, we're going to hear South Carolina radio news. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about All Aboard. That's right. We're going to be talking about the railroad and what's been going on over there. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Good afternoon. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. We just got so excited. We've been talking about books and museums and the railroad. And I tell you what, it's just totally awesome to have Stacy take some time and come sit down and talk to us here today. You know, one of the things that is happening is this Friday at 4 o'clock, there's going to be an unveiling celebration. What can you tell us about that, Stacy?
We are going to have a great time on Friday because we are celebrating the restoration of our Mikado steam engine. It's the oldest piece of equipment that we have at the Railroad Center. It's from 1906. And it's just going to be wonderful. We have the Swamp Prophets playing. That's sponsored by Trey Ward Painting. And we have Chip Tinsley, who is speaking. He's the president of our Greenwood Historical Society.
Correct.
We have some wonderful gift bags and wonderful refreshments. And it's just going to be a great time.
And it's free.
And it's free. So it's part of the Festival of Flowers. And we have tours all Saturday from 10 to 5. And some great tour guides. And our Welcome Center will be open, as well as our gift shop. This is the only weekend we're going to be open until our October 24th event for the rest of the train cars once those are painted.
Now, the trains have been closed down for a while.
They have been closed. We decided to close for this entire season from April through October, except for these special events, because we are fortunate enough to be able to paint the entire train inside and out. So it's very exciting.
Now, that's got to cost a lot of money because I know you've dealt with some asbestos issues too, yes?
Yes, we had a few environmental issues, which are very common on older rail cars. Mm-hmm. And those have all been taken care of, thankfully. So we're very excited.
Where did the money come from? I'm going to go ahead and ask you, Stacy. Where'd the money come from?
We have wonderful partners in the city of Greenwood. They have been just amazing in helping us get this destination up and running. So we're very excited. We have a wonderful grant that we just finished up from the National Heritage Corridor. It's a federal grant. And so they helped us out. And then the Self Family Foundation and Stockman Oil, CSX, John Ward Painting, Metal Fabricators of Greenwood. I could go on and on.
We've
had a lot of help. And Davis and Floyd, I mean, it's been amazing. So,
you know, why do you think people are so fascinated by trains? Because it really is a fascination. I mean, if you've ever been on a train or if you've ever thought how romantic it would be to take a train ride, you know, when you hear the clacking of the trains and the, you know, it's just romantic, isn't it?
It is romantic. I think it is the romanticism. I think some of the guys down at the Railroad Center that volunteer might disagree. They might say, it's the journey, the adventure, and so on and so forth. But
the hobo aspect, right?
Yes.
Jumping on and off the train. Well, you know, there was that whole aspect of it too.
There was that, and the people that worked on the train, you know, that was a hard life, but you know, it was a good living that they made. You know, and there's so many different stories about the employees, you know, that kept these steam engines going. You know, can't imagine how hot it would be to be a fireman in the steam engine in this weather, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, when we think about the trains, we still have the trains and a lot of people still depend on for an economy, for a job. I mean, working on the trains, mm-hmm. They go from North Carolina all the way down. I mean, all over, but you know, you hear a lot of particularly, I think, now out of Abbeville.
Yes, CSX and Norfolk Southern both have wonderful businesses all over the country, you know, hauling freight. And I've had the good fortune of meeting quite a few people from CSX and learning about the differences between the diesel engines that they use now and the steam engine that we have, and how, you know, the conductor would sit up front in a diesel engine, you know, but when you had a steam engine, you might have the conductor in the back and the caboose, you know, so it's learned so much. You can learn so much at the Railroad Center.
Yeah, you know, and I think that is one of the wonderful things is that this is something that we're going to have right here in Greenwood. You wouldn't expect to have a Railroad Center right here in Greenwood. You might expect it in Columbia, in the bigger cities, but you wouldn't expect to have that in Greenwood, would you?
You would not expect to have a Railroad Center like this. We have an amazing collection, which I had to learn to appreciate because I really hadn't been exposed to railroad museums until I came here, and I've visited quite a few, and we work with the Georgia Railroad Museum, and they don't necessarily have our collection. We have Diner, Sleeper, Caboose, Executive Car, you know, and this wonderful steam engine. It's amazing. We're very fortunate.
Yeah. So when we look at this, this is coming up this Friday, June 26th at 4 p.m. They're going to unveil the steam engine. Now, what exactly has been done? I mean, a cleaned, painted, restored, replaced things. What have you had to do to get the steam engine part ready?
Quite a lot, actually.
Quite a lot. Okay.
So what is done now is the jacket is removed from a steam engine that you're not going to use anymore. And there's a full abatement that happens, which means you remove the insulation, right? And then our steam engine was sponge blasted, which is very safe, you know, for this very old metal that we're working with. And then we painted it with a 30-year paint job, actually.
Okay.
So the same paint that you use for water towers.
Right.
We're very fortunate to paint it with this paint because it's going to protect it for so long. So it's very exciting. We've had the seats recovered, and we've installed a new whistle interactive.
Okay. So the whistle. Okay.
The bell and the whistle, everybody.
Okay. Yes.
So it's going to be so much fun. It's kind of, you know, it's still vintage, but it's just all shined up, you know.
That's cool. Now, when will people be able to go inside this car?
Yes, they will be able to go up in the cab in the steam engine. And those of you that have been up there know that it's very small, but you get to sit in the engineer seat or the fireman seat and ring the bell or pull the whistle.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess there'll be photo opportunities too doing this.
Yes, of
and
course.
Most important, the photo opportunities.
The photo opportunities are wonderful, yes.
Now, you have so you have the steam engine, and then how many other cars?
That will be we actually have six other rolling stock. So we have our 2102 interurban electric car from the Piedmont and Northern.
Okay.
That was built in 1914.
Wow.
And so we have one other car of that era, and that's our executive car from the Piedmont and Northern Railroad as well. So that will be opening October 24th. It's sponsored by the Sell Family Foundation. And it is the fanciest car.
The fanciest car? The
fanciest car, of course. And then we have our Piedmont and Northern caboose, which we actually have a local conductor that still lives in Greenwood that worked on our caboose. So that's very exciting. Our other cars are our Seaboard passenger car, our Erie Lackawanna diner car, which is sponsored by Stockman Oil. So that will be the next one to open after the executive car. And then we have our Erie sleeper car, which has three different types of bedrooms in it. So it's really exciting to have all these different types of cars.
And I understand that there were still some of the original papers and stuff that had been left behind in some of these cars. I mean, that's how well-preserved things were.
Yes, very well-preserved, like a time capsule, in fact.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it, though?
It was. I mean, we had soap, you know, still in the containers for the guests that stayed on the sleeper car. We had newspapers that were stuffed down in the seats from the last trip in the 60s. So It was amazing. We even have a Pullman Porter uniform that was part of the Railroad Center's collection, so we can display that.
And I understand. I understand Benjamin Mays even worked as a porter.
He was, yes, he worked as a Pullman porter.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so this was something. This is history that you have right here. You wouldn't normally be able to see this type of stuff or hear these type of stories, I think, and that's what makes this so neat. So you got to put it on your calendar: Friday, June 26, 4 p.m., and then Saturday they're going to do tours, the 27th, from 10 to 5. No admission. What an awesome thing. Now, this is just going to be for the steam engine, right?
This is just a celebration for our steam engine. It's been finished for quite a few months, so we felt like it was time to unveil it.
That's right. And then this fall, though, you're going to have all the cars open. October?
Yes, October 24th on Saturday at 2 o'clock. We're going to have all of our cars available so that everybody can see the new paint jobs. We've restored them back to their original paint. So it's going to be amazing.
Wow. All right, well, listen, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and I'll be right back.
They say every kiss begins with... But at Sharp Facets Gallery, every smooch begins with Sharp Facets Gallery. Which do you want? A little kiss or a big smooch? I'll bet a big smooch. So shop Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, for rock-bottom prices. And smooch-able results.
Oh, that's right. Let me tell you. All aboard for the train! I spare no expense for you, Stacy, here this afternoon.
I am so honored. Thank you. I love this whistle.
I know. Isn't it great? Sounds just like it, doesn't it?
It really does.
And when you see the video, you'll know what we're talking about. This is not a sound effect on the radio. You know, it's not like out of my sound mixer here. This is a train whistle. I'm not even strong enough to do it. It's pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes,
I love it.
Okay. No, you cannot have it. I'm sorry, Stacy. It stays at Sharp Facets. I have a fascination with trains and stuff. I think they're great.
Yeah, yes. They're so much fun.
I would like to someday, you know, up in the mountains, you can still ride trains. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that, but I think that would be a fun thing. And I've also seen some of the train trips that you can take out in the west, in the mountains.
Yes.
And even through Canada, the big train rides, mm-hmm. I thought, you know, that would be so nice.
Yeah, that would be very nice. I was fortunate enough to take a train through the Alps in Switzerland once. So pretty, I know. Back when I was younger.
Younger, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the I don't think you just don't get that feel. But the thing is, and I know that y'all are going to make this so that eventually somebody would be able to go in there and really imagine that they're on the train.
Yes, exactly. Because I love exhibitions. You know, that's what I did before this. And so I would love it if you could get to our station, because we want to build a replica of our southern station that was in the middle of town.
Right.
And get your ticket.
Right.
And then board the train. And, you know, you'd actually have the persona of someone who lived in Greenwood during that time period, you know, and kind of experience the train as they would have experienced it. Have dinners on the train, even have maybe scout sleepovers and things like that. So we have lots of big dreams. We're very excited.
It would be a great place to have a tea party eventually.
Yes. Or yes, a tea party or garden
tea party.
Yes,
garden party. Yes. Yeah, that would be great. Now, what is the plan? You're going to fix the train. Now, what is the plan for the house that's on there? Will that eventually come down, do you think?
That will eventually come down. We have a site plan now, so we're excited about that. And the main building on the site will be the replica of the Southern Depot that was taken down in 1952 in the middle of town. So we think that is probably the most fitting building for the train,
sure,
you know, and for the Railroad Center. So we're excited about that. We definitely love that house. We tried to work with the Palmetto Trust to save it. But it's very expensive, you know, for a four-story house built in the early 1900s. And it doesn't have enough history to put it on the register, you know. And so it needs over $1 million renovation to make it accessible. And so we really had to choose between the house and the train. And we chose the train.
I think you made a good choice.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, I think the board made a great choice. And we could never get this kind of collection again, you know, so.
And now, are there other train museums in South Carolina?
There are. The one that we work most closely with is the one in Winnsboro. It's the South Carolina Railroad Museum. And they actually have a train that will take you 5 miles down a quarry line and back.
Oh, cool.
Interestingly enough, our engine came from that quarry, the Rockton Ryan Quarry. So we have kind of a sister museum
in that respect.
Yes. And so one of the guys that volunteers at the South Carolina Railroad Museum will come visit our engine occasionally because his father was once the engineer on that engine. So it's very interesting how history connects, you know. And of course, our main consultant is the Georgia Railroad Museum in Savannah. So we work with them very closely as well.
Well, it's going to be really neat. You got to make sure that Friday, June 26th, that's this Friday at 4 o'clock. If you can be there, it would be terrific to be there because you are going to be unveiling. You're going to have the Swamp Prophets there to perform. I think that sounds very interesting. And Chip Tinsley is president of the Greenwood Historical Society. He's going to give a little brief overview. And you're going to have light refreshments.
Yes, and gift bags. And we're honoring the city of Greenwood for all of their support, as well as our founding families. We're dedicating the engineer seat to Mr. and Mrs. L.B. Adams. And we're dedicating our fireman's seat to Mr. and Mrs. C.H. Herndon. So we're very excited about all of this.
Well, you know, you got to look at this. If somebody always has to have the foresight to make something, you know, just buying those rail cars engine was a huge step.
It was a huge step. It was a huge project because they actually had to build a spur line. So actually lay down track to put these rail cars on.
And I can remember years ago, you drive by and you just see all this massive weeds and overgrowth there. And then, of course, I know you've got the master gardeners to come in and they started working and changing. I think the last time I was in it, I walked through it and I went, oh my God, this is a project and a half.
Yes, it's quite the project, the Railroad Center. We combined the Railroad Center and the museum in 2005. But of course, the museum underwent a huge renovation during that time, all up until 2008. And so we started renovating the Railroad Center in the beginning of 2013. And we still have quite a ways to go, but the strides we've made are amazing.
And then you use the old Palmetto Bank there. Is that part of, are you using that?
Yes, we do. That has been part of the Railroad Center property for years, but it was rented by the bank. And when they decided that, you know, they were going to move on down the street, we decided to make it our welcome center.
Yeah.
You know, it's an updated building. It's a wonderful welcome center. So it's a great place. We have our Piedmont and Northern exhibit that one of our great volunteers, Jack Graves, put together. So that it's a great place.
Now, everything will be done. The painting, the cars will be renovated by October 24th?
So the painting of all the cars inside and out will be finished by October 24th. We will open the executive car and the full renovation of that car will be finished.
Okay.
As well as the engine, the coal car, and the caboose. Now, the 2102 interurban electric car will not quite be finished. We may open it up because it's been painted. Trey Ward donated the painting of that, so that was wonderful. And then the following car that we will be completely finishing will be the diner car, but I don't look for that to happen until the spring of next year.
Okay.
We're going car by car.
Car by car. Yes. Well, you know, it's been, I know that you're looking forward to it. I hope you've taken great pictures all along, do you?
Oh, yes. We've taken so many pictures, documented everything, you would be amazed how many stencils we're going to need for the sleeper car, about 300.
All right. So that's the type of thing that has been happening. And, you know, that is actually, you know, it's a big responsibility as a museum to do a project like this. You don't, you should have take creative license and change it up the way maybe a business that would buy one and use it for a restaurant or something. There's a lot of responsibility that goes into making it historically correct.
Exactly. We had to do a lot of research to learn what each car would have looked like during certain time periods. For example, the diner car is decorated in 1960s era furnishings, paint, everything. But we found that after they blasted the interior, that there is a green color scheme that we loved from the 30s.
Oh, Art Deco type. Yes.
Yes. But, so, you know, at first we thought, well, that's a hard choice, but then we will restore it back to the 1960s.
Right.
Orange type of
1960s orange
scheme.
Or 1930s green. Hard choice.
Yeah, but we have all the original furnishings and they're beautiful. So
wow. Well, listen, Stacy, we really appreciate you coming down and spending some time and telling us about the museum. I hope we have ignited some excitement here this afternoon.
Oh, I hope so. And I hope everyone will come out on Friday at 4. It's so exciting what we're doing down there. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you'll be able to tour it on Saturday too from 10 until 5. I'm going to close with All Aboard! That's right. Come on down to the Train Center, the Museum and Railroad Historical Center. Stacy, thanks again so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You know, you're listening to your favorite radio station right here in Greenwood. While you're at the museum, don't forget they've got the electricity exhibit going on at the museum. Now, we didn't say the hours of the museum are...
They are Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and One Plug Kid Fest coming up Saturday, 9 to 12.
That's right. Yeah. So that's great. Hey, that's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.